Well, praise the Lord. Well, welcome everyone to the Landmark Baptist Church Wednesday night prayer meeting. And we got a little bit of good news tonight. Well, the best news is Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. But the other good news is my wife's going to get to come home. It's Saturday morning. And we've got a hospital bed coming to the house Friday. I done got the house rearranged for the hospital bed. And only bad news is she got about 5 doctor's appointments next week, so they're going to wear her out. And I worked at a pharmaceutical place for 10 years, and I can tell you this, it's more about profit than it is patient. They're trying to make a dollar, but we're glad that she's going to get to come home.
Amen.
It's not no fun being in a nursing home for one thing, but I'll tell you, it's hard to get in, it's hard to get out there. I'm thrilled to death to have her there back at the house, amen. And let's see what else good news we got. I think just heard a report about revival up here at Bon Air. And Patrick said they got to go one night, said it was about standing room only. Good spirit, good service. I like the sound of that right off the bat. And we just want to have a quick word of prayer. And I think Brother Patrick's going to sing us a song. But I praise God for that good news. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, being in your house tonight, Lord, such a blessing. Lord, you're so worthy of the best songs that we could sing. You're so worthy, Lord, of the best praise that we could give. And Lord, I pray you'll get that praise tonight, get that song tonight, get that worship, Lord, tonight. Lord, we can't do anything, Lord. But Lord, you can help us, Lord, and through your help we can do all things. And Lord, I pray for the singing tonight. I pray for the teaching of the Word of God. And I pray for the preaching of the Word of God. I pray for your children, Lord. I know these are perilous times. Lord, there's some things going on that I don't agree with right now. But Lord, heaven's still doing fine. Everybody's still happy up there. No problems at all up there, Lord. Won't be long. Glory to God. We'll join them. Get out of this nightmare down here and walk on streets of gold. Lord, what a blessed thought that is to know that even today, Lord, we might hear that trumpet call. Leave out, Father, and I'm not going to be like Lot's wife. I'm not going to look back. I'm going to be looking unto Jesus. But Lord, we pray you bless our efforts tonight. Bless those that are listening by way of the internet. Bless those that are watching and listening by way of the live stream. Lord, thank you for this little church. Lord, we just want to lift you up. We just want to get your word out. Want to try to encourage people. Lord, try to be a blessing. And we ask your blessing on our efforts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, Brother Patrick.
Well, I went to a funeral today.
Bless him.
I got a nephew. Been lost for a while. Mm. Got out there. Doing better now. But I really wish he'd find the Lord.
Bless you, Brother Patrick. Amen.
And because everybody deserves to have the Lord in their life.
Yes, glory to God, yes.
I seen the Lord there, you know, with the family. Comforted them, you know. She had a little cross in her hand in the casket. And made me feel a little better.
Yes.
You know, I told him I've been praying for him. And I just hope the Lord finds him soon. Or he finds the Lord soon.
Yeah.
So, and this song's for their family because I know they're going through hard times right now. So,
bless them, Father. Bless them, Jesus.
I am holding my last
spread.
Bless him, Lord.
Goodbye, sweet world of sorrow. My new life begins with death.
Yes,
I am standing on the mountain.
Boy.
I can hear the angels call. I am reaching over Jordan.
Yep.
Take my hand, Lord, lead me on.
We should all pray for our families.
Yeah.
We're only ones that can.
Amen. Amen. Stand together.
All my burdens are behind me.
Bless him, Father.
I am praying my final prayer. Don't you cry.
Says now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Amen. Thank you for that song, Brother Patrick.
You're welcome.
And you say you didn't have one, Rita?
No.
We'll be taking our text tonight out of Acts chapter 27, and let me say there's something in there for the saved and something in there for the lost. Like Brother Patrick said, something in there for the family. You know, we're all on a journey. Some are going up, some are going down. Some are going soon, some are going later, but we're all going, I don't know when. I get a little jealous. I think about people done made it to heaven, done graduated this short life. You know, when I was a young man, I didn't think much at all about getting out of here, but now that I'm 70 years old, I'm pretty fond of the thought, leaving out one of these days, going home. Paul said, I finished my course, and one day old Brother Eddie will finish his. We'll get out of this rat race, this nightmare. I'm going to say something right now. It's kind of profound. You can't make this stuff up, but I can't believe that a world is so determined to live without God is doing what I'm fixing to mention right now. Just found this out this week. They're spraying aerosol in the clouds or in the sky to try to make it cloud up to offset global warming to save the planet. I mean, I have to admit, you got to go to school for years to be that stupid. I mean, we got to breathe air. So if they're going to spray aerosol into the air, we're eventually going to breathe. And it's kind of like that COVID deal. I mean, they unleashed that on humanity because it's trying to save the planet, trying to cause a lot of especially elderly people in poor health to succumb to that COVID virus. That's the hour we're living in. That's the perilous times of this hour we're living in. And you know, that spraying that aerosol in the clouds, causing the skies to be cloudy, to kind of put a blanket over the earth to shield it from the global warming. Guess what? Farmers are going to be affected by that. The crops are going to be affected by that. We are what we eat, amen. I'm glad I'm ready to go. I'm glad I'm good to go. Hey, I'm telling you, no matter what they bring, I'm still going to heaven, amen. But that's some of the nonsense of our day, that men trying to play God, making things worse, if they even are bad, but they're making them worse than what they are by doing what only God can do. When I say that, let me clarify global warming. Look real quick with me here. We'll get into Acts 27 here in just a second. Look at Genesis chapter number 8. Here's global warming in one verse. Genesis chapter number 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, it's still here. Oh yeah, it hadn't been destroyed yet. I'm surprised man hadn't figured out a way to blow it up yet. But it says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. That's the word of God. You got God's word on that. Of course, man, they're going to try to play God, and they're going to seed the clouds with some kind of aerosol and make it cloudy. They're going to do their part. Hey, like I said, I thank God for a place called heaven. God formed the earth, formed it to be inhabited. That's why you got everything you need here. Let me read that real quick. Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord, that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth, made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is none else. God formed this planet, 2/3 of its water. I got to have water. It's got a firmament. They call it ozone layer. God called it a firmament there in Genesis chapter number 1. But divides the heavens from the earth. That little firmament up there caused me to have air to breathe. They go up there and out of space, they got to take oxygen with them. God formed the earth to be inhabited. I got air to breathe. I got water to drink. I got food to eat. I've got seasons. I got, you know, summer, fall, winter, spring. You know, we got everything we need, but man's got to meddle with it. Okay, I'll get off of that. Acts chapter number 27. And the reason I said this is going to pertain to the lost and to the saved. This is our 10th I Can Help You series. Paul here on this boat has already been told that he's going to appear to Caesar. And he's on his way to Caesar. Jesus told Paul, be of good cheer. Come on, Eddie. So that's kind of mentioned a little bit in Acts chapter 22. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified for me in Jerusalem, so must I bear witness also at Rome. But he's going to Rome to appeal to Caesar. And this whole chapter is about that journey. The last chapter that we just finished out there, he's appeared before Festus and appeared before King Agrippa. And now, the last verse of the last chapter, then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he'd not appealed unto Caesar. So Paul's getting ready to go to Rome and appeal to Caesar. So verse 1 says, And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. I guess I'll do this tonight as an expository, means verse by verse. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that teaches us all things. We have no need of any man teach us. It teaches us the truth, not a lie. Lord, a lot of truth needed today. Lord, I pray you'll open your words tonight. Bless your words tonight. Set a table, dear Father God, tonight for your children to be able to come, sup with you and you with them. And bless, I pray, everything this little church tries to do, Lord, I pray it be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. And Lord, I want to pray for that family, Brother Patrick just mentioned, buried a loved one, Father. We pray for them, Lord. And Lord, we pray for all, Lord. We got a long list of people we pray for. We pray for each and every one of them. We got some health that's failing them. Some of them, Lord, struggling with cancer. Some of them, Father, struggling to stay in church. We pray for all of them, God. I pray they'd all, Lord, receive strength and be encouraged. And I pray, Father, Lord, they'd all put their best foot forward, Lord, be in the house of God at a point in time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Paul here, as it was determined, he had appealed to Caesar. So now transportation being provided. Amen. It was determined that we should sail into Italy. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners. Now, Paul wasn't alone. We'll talk about that a little more in just a second. But this centurion is named in verse number 1. This centurion's name is Julius. And, God has not only put Paul in this boat or this ship, but he's put him in there with a few friends. The next verse says, and entering into a ship, and I can't say this word. I don't know anybody that could say this word, so I'm going to try to spit it out here. A ship of Adriatum, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. Now you find out a little bit more about him in Acts chapter 19. Verse 29. And it mentions here the whole city was filled with confusion, having caught Gallus and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companion in travel. They rushed one according to the theater. So this man here is a friend of Paul, this Aristarchus, and he's from Macedonia. And he's helping Paul here. It mentioned in that verse 29 that he's helping him in his travels. Companies of Paul in travel. So this Aristarchus here, he's a friend. In verse 3, the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius, that's his centurion, courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends and refresh himself. Now Paul's a prisoner, and if you'll notice verse 1, he's got other prisoners there with him. And so he's got a great opportunity here, to share the word of God with these prisoners. Got an opportunity to share the word of God with this centurion. And he's got some fellow friends here, this Aristarchus guy here. That's a friend of Paul, helps him with his travels. And they're with him. And here they are. He's got liberty to do things that he wants. You know, being a prisoner, he's been given, some courtesy here. Verse 4 says, and when we had launched, from hence we sailed unto Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we sailed over the sea of Sicilia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, city of Lycia. Golly, some of these names, I'll tell you, my tongue just can't frame them. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us thereon. Now Paul's finally got on the ship that he's going to sail to Rome in, this ship of Alexandria, and he's now on the right ship. He's heading in the right direction. In verse 7, when we had sailed slowly many days, scarce were come over against Sidon, the wind not suffering us, we sailed unto Crete over against Salamon, and hardly passing it, came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent and sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished him. Now, Paul here, like I said, he's a saved child of God. He's a prisoner, not complaining. The Lord done told him that he's going to appear at Rome and going to, you know, be a witness to Caesar. And he's going to do that. And, you know, child of God out there, you know, sometimes working in the workplace, you think, why am I here? You know, I'm saved. Why don't God give me a job where I don't work with nobody but Christians and be able to fellowship and just enjoy the hours at work? Well, the reason we're down here, we're His witnesses. And I worked in the factory for many years, about 40, 50 years. And all those opportunities in the factory, you get to talk to people about the Lord and share things with people. Lots of times we forget that that's why we're here. We're His witnesses. Paul has been afforded this opportunity here, and it's a perilous voyage that he's going to be on. And like I said, he's been given liberty. He's got friends. The centurion's giving him favor here. And Paul gives his advice here in verse 9. I don't know about y'all, but I've given a lot of people advice. They don't always listen. I've had people give me advice. I don't always listen. But Paul, he's on this ship of Alexander here. And they don't know Paul. They're not putting a lot of stock into his advice. Paul admonishes them in verse 9. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and the ship, but also of our lives. That's a pretty good warning there. And like I said, you know, they say opinions kind of like armpits. Everybody's got a couple and they all stink. Well, Paul's giving his opinion. He's giving them his advice. He's admonishing them. Look at verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, when you work at the workplace and you give someone advice and they don't give no heed to your advice, don't be disheartened. Paul didn't give up. He didn't get discouraged. He gave his advice. The centurion, Julius, he believed the owner, the master, and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of by Paul. Don't give up. You know, I witnessed my family, and the Bible will tell you this about your family. It says, a prophet's not without honor, save in his own country and in his own family. What's that mean, Brother Eddie? It means a stranger they'll listen to more than they'll listen to you. Lot went down there to his brother-in-law's there, and Sodom and Gomorrah, and tried to warn them about the fire and brimstone coming, and he seemed as one mocking to them. They never gave no stock to Lot. They ended up perishing in that rain of fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. They perished. They didn't listen. Well, these people didn't listen to Paul. He didn't give up. Verse 12, and because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised. Here's their advice. The more part advised to depart. They said, let's go. It'll be all right. Sometimes it ain't all right. Sometimes you wish you'd listen. And in this case, they are going to wish they'd listened. But the more part, you know, we got poles now. And, you know, like I said, that deal about the atmosphere spraying aerosol into our atmosphere to make the clouds cover the earth, to protect it from the sun, to save the planet. Seems like we ought to have a vote on that. A lot of this stuff's cloak and dagger being done behind closed doors. Well, anyway, here, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lie towards the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close by Crete. Sometimes the majority don't get it right. The minority, Paul said, I perceive this voyage is going to be with hurt and damage, not only the ship and the leading, but also our own lives. Verse 14 says, not long after there rose against it a tempestuous wind called Euarchadon. Now, Euarchadon don't sound like a good name to me, but here this predicament that they're in, the more part advised to go, and the minor part advised not to go. So here the storm has showed up, called Euarchadon. In verse 15, when the ship was caught and could not bear up to the wind, or into the wind, we let her drive and run asunder a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. So they're kind of trying to repair the damage of this storm. Verse 17, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. Verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Now these guys are sailors. They know what to do with the situation they got, and they're doing, you know, kind of like our government. They're doing what they think is in the best interest of everybody, so they're lightening the ship. Verse 19, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They're doing everything that they know to do. Verse 20, when neither sun nor stars many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. We had that eclipse this week, and everybody went nuts over that eclipse Monday. And everybody's out there with the glasses, you know, trying to see the eclipse. We're here. This wasn't an eclipse. It took it all out. No sun, no stars. The moon's kind of like a big star. It reflects off the sun, celestial light. But no stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on it. When you're out in the ocean, they actually use the stars for navigation to know where they're going, to know, you know, north, south, east, and west. Well, here they are. They're out there in this storm. They can't tell which way they're going. And that's why it says, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They didn't know where they were. They couldn't see. They couldn't know. But there's one thing, they've got Paul on board. Now, I said this last night pertains to Christians and lost people and even your own family. It's good to have a child of God. It's good to have somebody that knows the Lord. Brother Patrick was talking about, you know, praying for his family, and we do need to pray for our family. And it's good to have a man of God. Well, here in this case right here, verse 21, after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you know, he's polite. He's being courteous. Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And then he went on, verse 22, now I exhort you to be a good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now he's telling them the truth. They may not quite understand it like he does. Verse 23, he says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know, it's good to have a man of God. When I worked at the factory, I'd always turn thanks over my food and stuff, and we'd have a special meal, pizza or something like that. They'd ask me to turn thanks over it. And I praise God for that. That just means, you know, they recognize that I knew the Lord, that I loved the Lord. And they said, Eddie, would you mind turning thanks over this pizza before we eat? I said, glory to God, yes, amen. And, you know, we don't want to be a stumbling block. We want to be a blessing. And here Paul is, and he's comforting them. He says, you know, there stood by me this night, the angel of God. It's good to have the help of God. You know, all hope was gone there in verse number 20. All hope that they should be saved was taken away. Where here's some new hope. There stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, now must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Verse 25, Paul says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You know, if God does tell you something, you can take it to the bank. I'll tell you one thing God can't do. Thank God He can't. It's impossible for the God to lie. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, God that cannot lie. And Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, talking about Abraham. I'm on idiom. I've got cobwebs in my brain. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, by two immutable things, which is impossible for God to lie. That's one thing God can't do, thank God. Amen? I've had people lie to me before, and I don't like being lied to, I tell you. I like to put some stock in what people tell me. Paul says here, be a good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. He says, this is pretty good right here, 26, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. In the next chapter, verse 1, that island was called Malta, which means honey, sweet, and calm. And I thank God for the island called Malta. Amen. He said we gotta do this, but we're going to be upon a certain island there in verse 26. Verse 27, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down Andrea, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And sounded. That means they dropped a weight over the side of the boat, and they would see how much rope it took to touch bottom. And they'd do it again, see if it got deeper or shallower. And sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they'd gone a little further, they sounded and found it 15 fathoms. That means they're getting shallower. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Now, listen right here. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, Paul said here, that they must abide in the ship. I believe it's in verse 31 here. The shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the fourth ship, Paul said unto the Syrian, you know Julius, he said unto the Syrian and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. He kind of put the shoe on their foot. He said, if you don't do something, you ain't going to make it. He said, except these abide in the ship. Now, he didn't say they couldn't be saved. He said, you can't be saved. So he put the shoe on their foot. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Now, they didn't listen to Paul to begin with, but I want you to know they're listening to Paul now. So when you work out there in the factory, maybe just working in your own family, and they don't listen to you, don't give up. There may be an opportunity that they will listen to you. So don't give up. Don't cut the tree down. Just keep digging and dugging. Well, they're listening to Paul now. They cut the ropes off that boat, let it fall down into the sea. Verse 33, while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. You know, they've been 14 days without eating anything. Fear of the storm has took its toll on them, and they're afraid. And he says, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And he's just trying to calm their fear. And I like verse 35. When he thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. You know, I'm a firm believer in turning thanks over your food. I can't prove this, but I do believe that if we turn thanks over our food before we eat it, I believe there'll probably be less cancer in the world. I can't prove that, but I'll tell you this: I have been a few times I've ate three or four bites and realized I forgot to turn thanks. And I stopped right there. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. I want you to bless this food and I want to thank you for it. It pays to turn thanks over your food. What's that mean, brother? You're just saying, Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you for the health to be able to receive it. Bless it. Make it your nourishing to my body. You know, I'll just tell you, you ought to get in the habit of turning thanks. Well, Paul here, I don't know if that was his habit or not, but he's trying to encourage them. Verse 35, when he thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And if you'll notice, verse 37, and we were all in the ship, 260 souls. That's 276 people that are in a boat, in a predicament, they can't do nothing about. They've done everything they know to do. They're finally now listening to Paul. Paul's trying to encourage them. He's been praying there. And he said, verse 23, there stood by me this night the angel of God whom I am, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God have given thee all them that sail with thee. They've done everything they know to do. And now Paul is admonishing them, and he's giving them something to eat. Verse 36, they were all of good cheer. And when they took some, they eat. And there's 276 souls in this boat. Verse 38, and when they'd eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, unto the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. Now, like I said, this is a perilous journey. We're all in a perilous journey. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Right now, I remember one Christmas, we all met at my dad's mother's house, my grandmother's house. Dad had just left Mom for another woman, and it affected everything. I mean, here we were at my grandmother's house trying to somehow ignore what's going on. My mother there, just literally her life shattered because she loved my dad. And Dad left Mom for another woman. And here my mom is trying to make the best of it. We're cooking, you know, just having a little small like Christmas dinner like, you know. And the phone rung. And my grandmother answered the phone, and I could tell by the look on her face it wasn't good. She said, it's for you, talking about my mom. And my mother's mother was there. Both my grandmothers were there. We were just trying to make the best of a bad situation. Mom answered that phone and said hello, and it was the Haywood Fire Department. Her house was on fire. We left that Christmas dinner and went down there, and Mom's house, it's completely engulfed in flames. Firefighters are spraying water. Mom's in the car. She's crying her eyes out. We're trying to comfort her, and the house was a total loss. But I never will forget, the firefighter came down there to my mom and said we was able to retrieve this from the house before it got engulfed, and it was some pictures, which I've got the pictures now. Mom's gone. Pictures, you know, of things you can hold on to, you know, of your life, heritage, you know, pictures of our family and pictures of good times that we had. And they found her wedding rings, and she was so comforted to have her wedding rings, to have those pictures. But, you know, we're just making the best of it. And life's like that. You never know what's going on. I mean, you never know what's going on right now with somebody out there. Somebody out there is wondering if somebody even cares about them. There's somebody going through something even right now. And we just don't know, the Bible says, what a day may hold. Well, here they are, and they're trying to make it to land here. They're minded, if it possible, to thrust in the ship. Verse 40, and when they'd taken up the anchors, I mean, this is an act of desperation. They'd taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail. I mean, they're going to try to go as fast as they can to the wind and make towards shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable But the hinder part was broken up with the violence of the waves. I can kind of see that in my mind. I mean, they were doing everything they could do to make it to land. This ship's out in the sea. There's a storm out there called Euroclydon. And I mean, they're just kind of wore out. And here they are just trying to make it to the shore and to get stuck. And the ship's just being broken by the violence of the waves. Verse 42, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. See, the way it worked, if the prisoner escaped, then the soldier lost his life. So they're wanting to kill the prisoners so they can't escape. They're accountable. I mean, it don't matter if they're dead or alive as long as they bring them back. See, I kept him best I could. But the soldier's counsel was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, Julius, the centurion, the one that's finally now paying attention to Paul here, and he's realizing more to Paul than meets the eye. The centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they should swim, or they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Here's a man got some sense. You know, when something bad going on, it's good to have somebody around that's got some common sense. I personally believe we need to petition our government. When I say petition our government, I mean just put some common sense people up there. I'm so sick and tired of corruption. I'm so sick and tired of lies. I'm so sick and tired of anything but doing what's right. You know, they've got so many people done being caught embezzling. So many people done being caught selling out, you know, secrets and you know, being bribed and receiving bribes. I'm so sick of that. Wouldn't it be great if you could put some confidence in what you call leadership? Well, this centurion here, he's exerting great leadership right here. And in his leadership, willing to save Paul, he commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. That sounds like a good plan to me. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. You know that? That centurion used some good judgment right here, some good leadership right here when he made this command. It was a good command, and they all escaped safe to land. It's good to have a child of God on board when you got a storm and you're in the sea and you're tossed to and fro by the tempest. It's good to know that there's one on there that'll go down below and pray and seek God and get you through the storm. I mean, we sang that song, you know. Give me shelter from the storms that come along my way. Let thy sweet protection then be mine forever mine. I mean, when I'm in a storm, I want the Lord close by, amen. And this centurion, he's starting to pay attention not only to Paul, but he's showing a little favor to Paul. He said, no, we're not going to kill him. What we're going to do, we're going to improvise here. If you can swim, head to shore. We'll get the rest on boards and broken pieces of the ship. You know, this man here got some, not only some common sense, but he's given a good commandment here. And they all escaped safe to land. You know, if you've got good leadership, it'll be good. If you don't have good leadership, I mean, just read Proverbs 29, verse 1. Now, Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. I'm telling you, leadership makes a difference in the bottom line and the outcome. Well, in this case right here, the leadership of this centurion, Julius, the bottom line was they escaped all safe to land. And our next lesson will be in number 28. And we'll be talking a little bit about this island called Matilia, which means honey, sweet, calm. They come out of the storm into the calm right here. You know, when I got saved, I have to admit the storms quit and the calm took its place, and I've been sailing on the smooth crystal waters of salvation for 36 years. Amen. Anybody got any comment about any of that? You know, there's a lot of practical things in that chapter. If you're working in the workplace, just remember there may be somebody who needs you. They may need your counsel. They may need your prayers. They may need your advice. And don't be disheartened if they don't take it. Offer it anyway. And then pray for them. God will help them make the right decision. Anybody? All right. Father, we thank you for the admonishment tonight and the Word of God. Lord, you told us not to be hearers only, but doers. And I pray you help us to be doers of the Word. Help us, Lord, I pray, to point people in the right direction. Help us, Father, I pray, to set an example of the believer in word and deed. Lord, I pray when the world looks upon us, I pray they'll see, Lord, you in us, Lord, I pray. We thank you, Lord, for this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.